Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Andrew Hailed.
Can we just thank these folks? Thank you. Tomorrow's Veterans Day. Tomorrow's also my father's birthday, so he'll be glad to know we celebrated with him. So we're going to continue in our Thanksgiving series that Brock kicked off last week. And has anybody ever forgotten anything, ever, at all? Well, I have not. Just kidding. I forget things all the time. Jessica can attest to that. For example, I know we're approaching Thanksgiving, but bear with me as we jump towards the Christmas time. Jessica and I just got married in August of, what year was it, Jessica? No, we got married, and 5 months later was Christmas time. And we had discussed ahead of time, you know, what gifts we wanted to exchange, if anything. Do we want to save money? Do we want to put it towards projects in the future? You know, whatever. So we'd had that conversation, knew what we were going to do. But up until that point in my life, we had stockings growing up, and my mother and father had always been the one to fill the stockings. So Jessica and I had taken care of gifts, but I had forgotten, oh, we'd even just purchased stockings. I need to fill Jessica's stocking. And I'm having this realization on December 24th at Jessica's parents' house at 11 o'clock at night. Great first Christmas. So we're headed home. We wanted to have our first Christmas together, just the two of us in our apartment. And so on the drive home, I have to turn to my wife and say, Jessica, I forgot something. We have to make a stop. And nothing is open because it's midnight on Christmas Eve. Walmart's not even open. We have to stop at a 24-hour CVS. Jessica's sitting in the car while I go in to try and pick out some stocking items for my wife on our first Christmas together. There were a couple other people in there, so I didn't feel quite as bad. Maybe I felt worse. I don't know. But I got her some things. It all worked out, right, Jessica? Here we are. Here we are. So I felt like an idiot. I felt like an unloving husband. I felt careless with my approach to my wife in that Christmas season. Even though we'd had a conversation about what we wanted to do, I had still forgotten something that, frankly, was important. And as I had said, 5 months earlier, I had just made the commitment, I'm going to care for this woman. We're going to become one. We're going to look out for one another above our own cares and responsibilities. And I had already forgotten my wife. And I still carry that night with me, not to guilt myself or to shame myself, but as a reminder of where my heart needs to be in that season, in this season, in this Thanksgiving, and as we approach the holiday season, where was my heart in that time? My heart was, we got this, this, and this to do before the end of the year. I got to make sure we get all of our Christmas shopping done for other cousins and family. I was worried about my responsibility. I was worried about the things that I needed to do instead of worrying about where my heart was, where my wife's heart was. Where is my people that I care about? What do they need from me in this season? And as I said, I still carry that night with me, not as a way to guilt myself or to bring shame upon myself or just to use it as a sermon illustration, but as a reminder of where my heart needs to be in the coming months and throughout the year, but as we focus in here on the idea of giving thanks, as we focus in on this idea of the holiday season of giving, of knowing that there's so many others that are out there that don't have what we have. Aren't we called to live free from sin? Aren't we called to live fully alive in Christ? So I carry this with me not to carry guilt, not to carry shame, but to remember that, hey, I am free from the sin that pulls me away. I am free from the responsibilities. I am free from the things that pull me away from what I need to take care of for my spouse and for other people as well. Check out this passage here from Romans 6, verses 17 and 18. It says, "Thank God, once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you've become slaves to righteous living." We'll jump to the 2 Corinthians 1 as well. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 4. "Although he was crucified in weakness, he now lives by the power of God. We too are weak, just as Christ was, but when we deal with you, you will be alive with him and will have God's power." So when we are remembering the things that maybe pull us back, or remembering the things that used to enslave us, we can know that we're free from sin, as has been declared in the Romans passage, and that we can live fully alive in Christ, as said in the 2 Corinthians passage, and not to live in the doubt or shame or fear that maybe we have from the things either we've done or the things that other people have done to us. But we're called to live with joy, knowing Jesus and knowing that his act saved me. That his act saved us, everybody. Proverbs 22, verse 2 reads, "Rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all." Of them all. So we need to recognize here, as we look at this passage, as we look at the rest of what we're going at for this morning, we need to recognize that without God, we wouldn't exist. We wouldn't be here. The beauty we see, the people around us, the ones that we care about, the emotions we feel, they wouldn't exist without God. And that without Jesus, we wouldn't even be able to be in relationship with that God. And that without the Holy Spirit, we would not have encounter with him. And sometimes, many times, we try to seek out those encounters. And maybe it's in an emotional state, maybe it's in a worshipful state, but maybe it's in a recognizing that God is the one that encounters us. God is the one that comes to us, and he's doing it all the time. But have we forgotten that he wants to do that? And it doesn't mean that we have to be over the top excited, running around knocking on doors and saying, "Hey, Jesus loves me, he loves you too," and run into the next one. Well, that kind of could be a cool thing. Maybe we'll talk about that after service. But it doesn't mean that you have to be emotionally over the top excited, chipper, whatever words you want to put there. But knowing that without God, we don't exist. Without Jesus, we don't have a relationship. And without the Holy Spirit, we don't have encounter. So think about that, as I mentioned, running out into the streets and talking to people. What is your sphere of influence? Who are the people around you that you have input into their lives? Maybe it's the people sitting next to you. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's at school. Maybe it's wherever those clubs or organizations you're connected to. Who are those people that are within your sphere of influence? The Indianapolis Colts head coach's name is Frank Reich. And he, in his own right, before he was a coach, had a couple other hats that he wore. Number one being that he was a quarterback for the Buffalo Bills for many years. He was a career backup. However, he was the still holds to this day the greatest comeback of all time in NFL history with the Buffalo Bills. And as he went through his career, he kind of bounced around the league, got on some different teams, and he ended up on the Panthers down in North Carolina. And so he actually, in that time of his life, was approaching the end of his career, and he was aware of that. And he knew that what's next. And so he enrolled in classes at a seminary, and as a senior, became president of the seminary in North Carolina. A little bit older senior, but still a senior nonetheless as a student. And from there, he transitioned to becoming a pastor at a local church. And it wasn't long after that transition, he knew that there was something pulling at him. There was something that was pulling and stretching him and knowing that, hey, there's something else that I should be doing with my life. And he had this quote to say. He said, "I came to recognize more and more this false dichotomy between sacred and secular work." said he learned about the priesthood of all believers, that every Christian is called to live out their faith in their sphere of influence. The women's group has been meeting in the library for the last few weeks, well, for much longer than that, but they've been looking at the Breathe study here the last few weeks as led by Priscilla Shirer. And one topic she discusses is that we naturally enslave ourselves to things because that's what we know. When we're born, we become enslaved to sin. As we raise up, as we become the men and women that we are, we naturally enslave ourselves to things, whether it's something that is in sin or it's something that just exists that we find that we really connect with. And she talks about, coming out of Exodus 16, she talks about when the Israelites are freed from Egypt and they're led by Moses and then go out into the desert. At some point, they lose sight of the God that freed them from Egypt. At some point, they start saying amongst one another, I'd rather go back to Egypt. At least we had food there. At least we could gather around the fire there. I would rather go back to slavery than to continue on to this unknown because I don't understand what God is doing. I, Andrew, am enslaved to sins. There are things that I wish I didn't do. What is it that's pulling me back? What is it that's pulling me towards those things? What is it that's pulling you towards those things, whatever they are? We naturally enslave ourselves to things. It's what we know. If I love something, I'm going to know everything I can about it, and I'm going to share that information with others. I haven't experienced this, but I've been told that toddlers do this quite a bit, especially when it comes to dinosaurs and sharks. You find out more information about dinosaurs and sharks than you ever cared to know from toddlers if they really connect with that piece of information. It could be that you're ensnared by something. It could be that you're doing everything you can to just hold on to life, hold on to what you know, because there's so much other stuff going on that you can't even do anything but hold on. And our solution is, hey, you need to reach out to somebody. Hey, you need to tell somebody that you have an ailment. You need to tell somebody that you have an issue or a problem or you're just going crazy. But many times what happens is all you can do is hold on, and there's no space. All you're doing is keeping yourself from being swallowed up. There's no space to reach out. Because you are encircled, you're ensnared by something. Maybe it's a mental illness or ailment. Maybe it's a physical ailment. Maybe it's something that's from your past that is causing you pain to this day. And maybe the pain won't ever go away. But where I'm going with this is, do we carry the weight of our debt with us? Do we carry the weight of what we have been given when we give our life to Jesus? When we look at the cross, when we look at the tomb, when we look at the rolled away rock, do we recognize, do we remember that we have a debt and one that we can never repay? Have we forgotten what it's like, what it felt like to know Jesus for the first time, for the second time, for the fifth time? Have we forgotten how much of a need we have for him as we look at this Thanksgiving and Christmas season? Have I been given value? Jesus says, you have value in my eyes. Have we taken that value and made it so that I have even more value than I originally thought? What I mean by that is, do I value my life so much that, yeah, I needed Jesus to redeem me, but now I just need to live life the way I'm supposed to live it? Or, yeah, I needed Jesus to redeem me, but now I have life under control. He's shown me what I need to do. He's gotten me out of the pit that I was in, and now I can just manage the day by day. Does that sound familiar? Something I do all the time. We'll just make it through the next day. If we think about it in the sense of we have been freed from sin, we have shackles that have been removed, but we go back to that sin, it's like reshackling ourselves, but we've learned how to pick the lock so that we, oh yeah, Jesus, you've got this. Thanks. I'm going to go back and do this now. If anybody here is an Indianapolis Colts fan and follow the Colts, you know Adam Vinatieri has not had the best season to speak of. But I would suggest that we are comparing him to a standard that is not necessarily achievable for most people. Adam Vinatieri, for much of his career, has performed at the greatest of all time level. And this season, he has not had the greatest of all time season. He's had some struggles. And I bring this up because if he is not performing at the level that we expect, have we forgotten that, one, he's human, but two, he was performing in such a way because of what he believed in and what he believed about himself. Many folks' response after his struggles this season is, he should have retired. He should have hung it up. He should have just ridden off into the sunset after last season. It would have been so much better for his legacy. But the Colts' response as an organization has been, we have faith in Adam. He's still our kicker, and we still stand by him. Yeah, maybe he's not up to his previously high level of performance, but he's still the best kicker of all time, and he has faith that he can still do what he is being asked to do. And because of that, we have faith in him as well. That's where we're at as well. And so the question I came up with following that was, does Jesus have faith in himself? And I would answer that question by saying, yes, Jesus has faith in himself. He knows that he's the greatest of all time. He knows what he brings to the table. And if that's where he's at, and I have faith in him, then that's where I am too. That's where I want to be. I'd mentioned Frank Reich earlier. One of the times that he was working with his Buffalo Bills team, they went to the Super Bowl and they lost. And after the game, for the first 2 hours of the trip, he said he was going crazy trying to figure out why the Super Bowl went the way that it did. And finally, I could take it no longer. I realized I could be asking the same questions the rest of my life. I needed some peace of mind. The only thing I could think to do was to put on my headset and listen to In Christ Alone by Michael English. All he could do was go to the Lord. And he did it through music, but it can be through prayer. It can be through looking at God's word and seeking God's wisdom and insight in those areas. It's going in prayer to the Lord and finding inspiration from him, because we know that he acts, we know that he moves, and we know that he is Lord. And as we mentioned earlier with Exodus 16, when the Israelites were leaving Egypt, they did not only want to go back to what they knew, but they wanted to go back to slavery. They wanted to go back to an oppressed state of living instead of going to the Lord, instead of trusting the Lord and knowing that, even remembering that God was the one that would free them. God was the one who had set them free from those things. And that God was the one who had protected them with pillars of fire from heaven. That God was the one who had parted the Red Sea for them to escape. And they still said, let's go back to Egypt. Because they had already forgotten what he had done for them. The book of Hosea is a book that I haven't spent too much time in. I have leading up to this, but it's a book towards the end of the Old Testament, one we can kind of jump over or skip over. But the book has more to do with divine brokenness than the relationship that Hosea experiences in the book. Hosea is asked by God to marry a prostitute, and so he marries Gomer. And Gomer and Hosea have three different children. And then after that, Gomer goes back to the environment and the actions that she had been in before. And so the book talks about Gomer and Hosea's relationship, but it's actually an even better illustration of the relationship that God has with his people. The people at the time had not gone back to Egypt. They had gone forward to where they were going to go as God had led them. But the people had become more and more separated from the Lord. At some point, they had asked God, hey, we want a king, because we see all these other kingdoms around and we want to be like them. We want to have somebody who is leading us, somebody we can point to when something goes wrong. And so God relents and he gives them a king. And as time goes on, the kings become more and more separated from the Lord. They become more and more evil in the eyes of the Lord, even more evil than his father before him. And so God is describing in the book of Hosea the agony that he's experienced, the relationship that he has lost because of the actions of his people. And so what this book talks about is that God's justice requires judgment, that a part of God is justice, a part of God is judgment, and he's not going to change that. He can't change that because that's who he is. But in the midst of that, in the face of that, in his love, God promises to still redeem his people. So we'll pick up in Hosea chapter 13, verse 4. It's in the inserts in your bulletin if you want to follow along. So this is God talking, and keep that in mind here, as we're going to hit a couple of this and then kind of wait for a moment and talk about it and move on. But it says, I have been the Lord your God ever since I brought you out of Egypt. You must acknowledge no God but me, for there is no other Savior. I took care of you in the wilderness, in that dry and thirsty land. But when you had eaten and were satisfied, you became proud and forgot me. So now I will attack you like a lion, like a leopard that lurks along the road, like a bear whose cubs have been taken away. I will tear out your heart. I will devour you like a hungry lioness and mangle you like a wild animal. So hold up. This is the God that we follow. This is the God that we love. This is the God that is loving. This is the God that extends grace and mercy and judgment and justice. And he's saying he's going to attack his own people like a lioness. He's going to attack his people as if a mama bear whose cubs have been taken away. But you have to hear this last bit here to get a better picture. You are about to be destroyed, O Israel. Yes, by me, your only helper. Now, where is your king? Let him save you. Where are all the leaders of the land, the king and the officials that you demanded of me? So the people, like we said, are now operating as if they don't need God. And so he's going to come in, and he's going to come in storming. He's going to come in because he knows who he is, and he knows what he has done, and he knows what he brings to the table. And he needs the people to know. He needs the people to remember, to recognize that we are utterly and completely under the direction and guidance of our Creator. That anything apart from him will result in turmoil and pain from the world, or turmoil and pain when without relationship with God. It's interesting to notice that God is never the first to turn his back on his creation. He's never first. But he is first to turn a gracious hand. He is first to still extend love to his chosen people because he still loves them. He still enters into justice and judgment with love. And he presents a Savior, namely himself. So do we carry the weight of our debt with us? Have we forgotten our Lord in the midst of our day today? Have we forgotten that he is the one who has freed us? Have we forgotten that he is the one who sets us free? Or do we go back to shackling ourselves up and then picking the lock and going and doing whatever we're going to do, doing whatever we want to do? Have we forgotten what it's like to even know Jesus? Have we forgotten how much of a need we have for him? Have we forgotten our salvation? I would say that a way to react to that, a way to respond to that, how do we address that if it's something that we do forget, because I do it, is with the question, what is our sphere of influence? Who around us can we talk to about their story? Tell me about what's going on in your life. Tell me about your upbringing. Tell me about, and out of that can come hearing from them, and out of that can also come opportunities to speak your own story as well. Out of that can come opportunities to speak, hey, here's what Jesus is doing in my life. And that serves two purposes. One, it spreads God's word. It spreads the Lord to the nations. But it also reminds us of where we come from. It reminds us of our salvation. It reminds us of, I can be thankful for where I'm at in life because the Lord has blessed me. I have not forgotten my Lord and my God. It can also allow you to hear the stories of the people around you and just to know them better, to know what the words can be to speak to them. It can be knowing, hey, this is what I can pray for Joe, for Bob, for Sally. If they share that they know the Lord, celebrate with them. Give them a high five, pat them on the back. If they don't know the Lord, hear their story, hear where they're coming from, and then ask if you can share your story as well. Heavenly Father, God, we've been here this morning. We've sung, we've listened, we've expressed the different needs that we know of in the world. But God, the need we have is for a fresh encounter. And out of that comes a remembrance, a reminder of that you are present, that you are involved, that you care, that you are the one that causes freedom, that you are the one that moves, and that we are the ones that get to receive. That without you, we would not exist. Without your Son, we wouldn't have relationship. And without the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't encounter you everywhere. So Jesus, we go from here. Give us the ears to hear, the eyes to see, the words to speak. And not just to go about the day-to-day, but to be reminded in every moment to speak what you're doing for others to hear and for us to hear. That you are present, that you move, that you're active, that you are God, that you are Lord, and we worship you. We worship you. May we not forget what you've done for us. In your name we pray. Amen.
So we're so glad you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.